A new report has some dire warnings for the state's charter schools. It says 10% of them are, quote, in significant financial distress, with closure, quote, a near certainty due to excessive debt and poor underlying financials, end quote. And the Grand Canyon Institute says another 10% are also at risk of closure. Curtis Cardine helped compile the data. He's a fellow at the Grand Canyon Institute and is a former charter school executive. He joins me via Skype. And Curtis, from what you've found, is it possible to describe broadly the financial state of charter schools in Arizona?
Well, it's a very broad question. What you have to realize is you've been doing this for 25 years in this state. And during that time period, there's been multiple mortgaging of properties. So that's hit what we believe is a critical mass right now. At the same time, the charter market is consolidating. All of the number of new students that were obtained by charter schools, which was 29,000 new students between 2014 and 2017, 78% of that went to the four top charter groups. Now, how does that create a problem? Well, it creates the same problem that you would have if you were counting on your income to pay your mortgage. If your income goes down, which 35% of the charters in the study lost ADM, they no longer have that money to pay for their debt. So they've got debt based on the numbers that are no longer coming in.
So your concern is mostly for the charter operators other than those top four that are gaining most of the students in the state, is that right?
They're in fine financial shape. It's the ones that are at the top of the thing. What's happening is it's a consolidation of the market. I'll use a business term for that. And it's hurting a lot of high performing charters, as well as the cases where there was some kind of financial mismanagement going on. It's not necessarily because it's a bad charter that's in this condition. It's anybody can set up a charter wherever they want to once they get approval. And sometimes they do that and it takes away from a performing charter whose debt was based on the payments that they had to make on more children than they have. So it's very similar to what happened in 2007, 2008 with the mortgage market.
I mean, how similar is this? I mean, is it mostly a real estate issue? I mean, are charter operators taking out loans, for example, to pay teacher salaries or other operating costs, or is it mostly buildings?
Well, when you don't have enough money that you've received during the year, and that shows up in our last report, we talked about net deficits, which means your revenue didn't match your expenditures. Okay, when that happens, you only have one source to use for that money. You have to use your savings, money you have in reserve, or you have to use money that you've borrowed. And what we found in the data is people were re-borrowing other kinds of money based on the amount of kids they were expecting.
Now, with this situation going on, we've not seen a lot of charter schools shut their doors, and we've seen a few, but by and large, charter schools continue to operate. I'm wondering how you sort of reconcile the shaky financial ground that you found with the fact that these schools are still open.
Right. What happens is we have done a study that looks at what their losses are per student. When you take the ADM that they've got, average daily membership, and you divide it into the loss, if that number comes out at greater than $500 per kid, that means you've got more going out than you can afford to have going out, even if you have some kind of reserve. And that shows up again in net deficits. So you're right. It's mostly it's a real estate problem. It's not due to academic performance.
We have heard from a few state lawmakers. We've heard from Governor Ducey that they are interested in doing some kind of reform to the charter school movement here in Arizona. Are you hopeful or optimistic that the package that comes out of the legislature will address some of the concerns that you've raised in this report and previous ones?
Well, I'm very hopeful from what I've seen from the Arizona Charter Board. They've been very proactive. They know they have an issue. And I think when they reacted to this, and they said they think we over-exaggerated. Well, we've given them the data. They've seen it. And they have a vested interest in fixing this because it's an embarrassment when a school closes during the school year. So they need to either get ahead of that and do something about it And they've gotten the power to do that last May when the legislature passed the right of the board to close the school for financial reasons. That's a positive move.
Curtis Cardine is a fellow at the Grand Canyon Institute and studies charter schools. He's also started charter schools as part of his education career. We'll post a link to his most recent report at theshow.kjzz.org.
The Arizona Charter Schools Association was not happy with the Grand Canyon Institute report, as a statement from the group labeled it an, quote, anti-charter screed, end quote. With me is Matthew Benson, spokesman for the Charter Schools Association. Matt, first, are you actually saying the GCI report indicates the organization is against charter schools?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that the Grand Canyon Institute has an anti-charter agenda. They've made that pretty clear over the last couple years here, where they've churned out report after report. In fact, this particular report is a virtual rewrite of one that they issued last year, calling out virtually all of these same issues. So I guess they felt like it was worthy of having a sequel. And that's unfortunate on our, for those of us who are in the charter industry who feel like this organization, frankly, has it out for charter schools and charter families.
Are there any points in there in terms of financial concern? Not when we're talking about basis or great hearts or whatnot, but is there any reason to be concerned about some of the other schools that people don't know about in the sense of enrollment going down?
Well, look, enrollment, it goes up for some schools and it goes down for other schools. That's what happens when you have an open marketplace for school enrollment like we do in Arizona. The fact of the matter is, if they're concerned about charter enrollment going down, they should be really freaked out about district schools that educate about 85%, a little less than that, of the students, because district schools overall haven't gained any enrollment in 10 plus years, and many district schools are seeing their enrollment plummet. Charter schools are the schools that are growing and that have seen their enrollment double, virtually double, in the last decade.
Matt, in terms of some of their findings and recommendations, one, and I'm coming back to the enrollment issue, it says, well, the charter sector as a whole has had robust growth, and that growth is not evenly distributed. So I sort of come back to the same concept. Are there certain reforms that wouldn't be a bad idea to have more even distribution? Or are you talking about competition again, the idea that some schools are going to grow, some are not?
This is about giving parents and families the authority and the empowerment to pick the best school for their children. And some schools are going to win out with open enrollment, and some schools are not. That's how the system is intended to work. We think the system is working. We think when you see some of these school networks, whether you're talking about Basis or Great Hearts or Legacy Traditional Schools or some of the others that have thrived and increased across the state, that's because they've found a recipe that works, and they're replicating, and that's all a good thing, because they're bringing that service to more students and more families across the state. And some schools are not doing as well, and I think it's incumbent upon them, whether they're district or charter, to figure out what they need to do to appeal to more students and families.
In the bigger picture, Matt, there are going to be some people who are concerned when they look at those schools that have had financial problems and how much that affects students, how much that puts uncertainty in the mix. Are there certain ideas that, as we start the legislative session next week, and there are going to be some charter school reforms at least brought up, should any of them be related to financial stability?
Absolutely. Look, in 2018, the state passed a new law giving the State Charter Schools Board, the regulatory authority over charter schools, new power to take action against schools that are on financial shaky ground or that have engaged in some kind of misconduct. So that action was taken last year and is coming to the fore here this year. And you're going to see additional charter reform in the weeks ahead that deals with charter governance and transparency, their financials, procurement, and other issues. So all of these things are coming together, and I think the key from our perspective is to have reforms that bring some additional transparency and accountability, so people can have trust in what's going on in these schools while maintaining the basic autonomy and freedom, the special sauce, if you will, that has helped charter schools be successful over the last 25 years. Because let's not lose sight of this in this whole discussion. Charter schools have been tremendously successful in Arizona.
Matthew Benson is a director at Veritas. He's also acting a spokesperson for the Arizona Charter Schools Association. Matt, thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.